2 begins on page 355 in the Book of Common Prayer. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
First lesson this morning is from the second book of Samuel. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him went from Baalah Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went out in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their mights, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. The word of the Lord. This morning, Psalm 24, let's respond by the whole verse. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the the world and all who dwell therein.
For the sea rebounded upon the seas, and made firm upon the rivers of the deep.
Who can ascend the hill of the Lord, and who can stand in his holy place?
Those who have clean hands and pure heart, who have not pledged themselves to falsehood, nor sworn by oath to fraud.
They shall receive a blessing from the Lord, and a just reward from God of their salvation.
Such is the generation of those who seek him, of those who seek your face, O God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, lift them high, O everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in power.
Lift up your heads, O gates, lift them high, O everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory.
The second lesson is from the book of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purposes of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope in Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
King Herod heard of Jesus and his disciples, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it's Elijah, and others said, it is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. When Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved. Yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guest, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our readings for today are long. So you may be surprised when I say that I'm going to add more. Actually, surprise may not exactly be what came to mind when I said that I'm adding more to the readings, but we'll go with that for now. As I have said on more than one occasion, it's important to know what is going on in and around the readings that we hear. It's important to have them in context. You might have noticed that in our reading from 2 Samuel, several verses were left out of chapter 6. 7.5, to be exact. Those 7 verses are important to the story. They're important to what is going on. We hear that David and 30,000 of his closest friends, all the men of Israel, are on the move. They're taking the Ark of God, the tabernacle, to what they will believe will be its final destination. They're having a grand time on the way, or at least David is. He's dancing and singing and making merry. He's happy to be traveling with the Ark of God, because God is traveling along with them. And that, presumably, is a very good thing. The goal of the Israelites was to keep God in their midst, and so he is at this time, very much present, enthroned on the cherubim, and all is well for this moment. They've made special preparations, we hear, for this trip. They have a new cart, one that has never been used at all. It's a special cart, a holy cart, because if you're transporting God, you need to use only holy transportation, a cart that has not been defiled. We're told that the two sons of Abinadab, the priest, are driving the cart, and we know that they are being as careful as they can be. You'd be careful, too, if you had God in the back seat. We're not told what the lectionary diviners decided to leave out, is that the trip didn't go exactly as planned. Ahio, one of the sons of Abinadab, was at the front of the ark, and Uzzah, the other son, was presumably behind. The oxen shook the cart, and Uzzah did what any normal person would do. He reached out to grab it, to keep it from falling. God knows what would happen if God landed upside down on the ground. Unfortunately for Uzzah, reaching out and grabbing the Ark of God was not the best idea. And he ended up dead. Right then and there, dead as a doornail, struck down by God. This is not good. And David realized it immediately. So all the singing and dancing and cavorting and carrying on stopped just as immediately. And David said, "Get that thing out of here." Actually, according to scripture, David said, "How can the ark of the Lord come into my care?" It seems that David knew, in order to come in contact with God or even his dwelling place, the tabernacle, even briefly, one must be holy. Coming close to God is a dangerous thing. So David sent the tabernacle and God to live with Obed-Edom, who apparently was holy enough, and all went well. Finally, David took a risk. He brought the ark to the tent that he had made for it, and he did all the right things to make everything holy. He burnt offerings and burnt offerings and offerings of well-being, and danced and sang to the Lord, and the Lord was pleased. But David's wife was not. She looked out the window, saw him dancing around like a wild man, dressed in nothing but a linen ephod, and she thought, "What will the neighbors think?" She didn't realize it doesn't matter what the neighbors think, only what God thinks. Well, that pretty much put a damper on the rest of their marriage, but that's a story for another day. Herod also came to realize that coming close to the holy is a dangerous thing, and certainly John the Baptizer did as well. They were having a party. Have you noticed that there's a lot of celebrating going on in our readings today? The daughter of Herod's illegal wife is doing some more dancing. And being into his cups a bit, he wants to return the favor and goes a bit overboard by offering her anything, up to half of his kingdom, which we really wish she had taken. She rushes out to her mother. Again, the wife doesn't get it. Who says, "Let's get rid of the guy who's causing all the problems. Tell him you want the head of John the Baptizer on a platter." Herod, who we are told knows that John is a righteous and holy man, decides to save face and has John beheaded. Being close to the holy is a dangerous thing. But that seems a little odd, doesn't it? You would think that Herod, the unholy, would be the one who was struck down, and John, the holy, would be safe. And moreover, what does any of this mean for us here today? I think there's several things we can take from these stories that can have bearing on our lives today and tomorrow and even next week. The first, perhaps most obvious, reminder we can take from these readings is the importance of the holy. It's so easy to become comfortable with God, to be easy with Jesus. And while Jesus and God are both accessible to us, we need to gain that access through an attitude of holiness. If not a life lived completely in holiness, a life lived striving for holiness. Now, holiness can be a vacuous word, one that my Old Testament professor calls a weasel word, one not unlike spirituality. A word that if I were to poll each and every one of you here today, I would probably receive a variety of definitions. Can we agree at least that holiness means an attitude of reverence, an attitude of remembering the awe-inspiring otherness of God, and also means striving to love our neighbors as ourselves? There's more to holiness than that. Does it mean following the 600 plus laws in the Torah? Maybe. Some would argue that's only the starting point. Does it mean praying and fasting? Yes. What holiness means at its most basic level is paying attention. Paying attention to Scripture, paying attention to tradition, paying attention to reason, and most of all, paying attention to the Holy Spirit. We are so prone to filling our lives with busyness that we no longer believe that we have time to pay attention. As Christians, we are first and foremost called to pay attention. Do we own stock in a company that uses slave labor? Do we believe that people are starving because they won't bother to work? I'm not really sure that we need to be overly concerned about our holiness if we wear a polyester cotton blend shirt. But we may need to pay attention to how much of our profits we're leaving for the poor and resident aliens. Obviously, the call to holiness is not only a call to pay attention, but also a call to act on what we see when we are attentive. A life of holiness is not a life lived alone. A life of holiness is lived in community, the whole community, a community of us, not a community of us and them. But what about John? He was holy and righteous, right? He did exactly what he was supposed to do and ended up beheaded because of a drunken parlay. I would truly love to be able to give you a pat answer to that, to be able to tell you that if you do good things, then good things will happen, but I can't. What I can tell you is that if you strive to be holy, to live a holy life, then the value you give to all aspects of your life will change. We can see that with martyrs throughout history, but even that is not enough to change our framework. We think of them as other, and that's a shame. Certainly, none of us wants to be remembered as martyrs. The cost seems too great. Can we imagine ourselves as being remembered as holy? Is that too much? That word is so weighted. We think of holy, we think of people like the apostles and Augustine, even Mother Teresa or Desmond Tutu, the great leaders of the faith. Maybe we think of particularly pious people that we've known in our lives, those who seem somehow removed from the drudgery that we encounter on a day-to-day basis. Do you think of yourself as holy? What would your life look like if you did? Would it be any different? Be holy. Pay attention. What you do matters, not only to the community and the rest of the world, but to God. Pay attention. Be holy. And act. Amen. Turning to page 358, let us affirm our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
Father, the Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, but of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried.
On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are Form 3, found on page 387 in the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty God, to whom our needs are known before we ask, help us to ask only what accords with your will, And those good things which we dare not or in our blindness cannot ask, grant us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought or in deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Here on this beautiful day, I'm glad to see you all, and it is great to be back. It's wonderful. I invite you all for reception following this service in Tyler Hall, honoring and thanking Bobby Floyd for his time with us here and sending him up. Truly going to be missed. I don't know how I'll get the sermons recorded once Bobby's gone. We're working on that. Also want you to pay special attention that this Wednesday we're having the joint service with St. Michael's. We did this 2 weeks ago here with them coming over here. This week we will all be joining them there. I heard it was very well attended, and so thank you all for coming out. And please do go and worship with St. Michael's on Wednesday night. But especially pay attention to the time. It is our Wednesday night is usually 5:30. Theirs is at 6 o'clock. So Wednesday at 6 o'clock, be sure and be there. I've heard wonderful news about the fundraisers that we have done here at Grace. The Humane Society got quite a big gift from us after Vacation Bible School, and thank you all for supporting that. And apparently the sale of the butts went really well. The group made for our Haiti mission trip $800+, I believe. So 800 what? 850. So thank you all. And Catherine just told me this week we had $1,600 worth of gold to turn in. So you guys are amazing. Thank you so much. The world thanks you for your gift. Are there any other announcements that I need to, anyone knows about? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
to praise how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Come to bother, Lord, I fear.
Prayer A, beginning on page 361. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. For yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension. We offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever.
The people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Lord.